Shouting Fire is dedicated to being a resource for the Burning Man community, bringing DJs and music makers from across the multiverse together, share their art with the world. And then there's this episode.
Live, and we've got guests in the studio. Let me move some shit around here. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the mermaid goddess herself, Fury.
Hey!
And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, he was written up in the art in the weekly 2 weeks ago, and I forgot to get a copy of it. Trice B, baby!
Trice B!
2 weeks is 4 years ago.
Oh, 4 years ago. Oh, okay. I thought it was recent, so I was like...
No, it was a throwback Thursday.
Okay, I missed that part, so...
It's all good.
All right, we all hung out together a couple Saturdays ago and just had the best fucking conversations, and we're going to kind of go that same route tonight and just, like, I've got nothing really planned or anything like that, just random conversation of whatever comes up. I got some stuff to talk to Trice about because he hasn't heard about my ayahuasca.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's courtesy of Mike. It's courtesy of Makai. So.
Bless. 369. 369. Gosh, what's the name of that?
369 Tribe. Yeah.
Yes.
Tribe. Yeah. Yes. So we'll talk about that real quick here.
Yeah.
So. I was talking to Mike Pierce. Talking to Makai. Oh, whatever. He's a public figure. So
government names.
I try not to use government names, but like some people, you can't help but use their government name.
No problem dropping mine.
Yeah, I use my government name all the time.
Yeah. Well. Okay. You use it. Okay. But they don't know that Fury is your government name.
Everybody knows that Fury is my government name.
Okay. Well. I'm Randy Winsett.
So I literally.
I mean, everybody thinks Trice is my first name.
So. Yeah, I know. I know what your Trice name. I know what your first name is. So. So anyway, so we were hanging out with Pouncey, and he was telling me about the stuff that he's doing with ayahuasca, and like how he's doing it. He's like they're sitting like once a month.
Hmm.
And he was sitting with some vets dealing with PTSD.
Oh.
And so I was like doing like a little research on this and like seeing that, you know, they're doing this with like Vietnam vets that have been dealing with fucking PTSD for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're going in, they're sitting one time and getting over it.
Hmm.
If you've got the right steps and the right support in place, yes.
Yes, and then I told him the story. I told him my DMT story because ayahuasca at its core is DMT.
Yeah, ayahuasca and then the chakruna.
Yeah.
So ayahuasca is what makes the chakruna DMT bioavailable, as I understand it.
Yeah. So you've done the ayahuasca ceremonies before.
Once.
You don't want.
I sat for one and I participated in one. Yeah.
But we were talking about my one DMT story that I have that scared the hell out of me, and I did that 20 years ago.
Mm.
And just like, it was like, and it wasn't anything bad happened. It was just, it startled me. Like, have I told you the story?
No, I don't think so.
I was out at Dark Skies 20 years ago, and I was out there with a friend of mine, and he said, do you want to do some DMT? I'm like, fuck yeah, because I've always had like this playful reverence with fucking psychedelics. Like, I respect the psychedelic. I respect the power that the medicine has, but I'm always been kind of a, let's have fun with it at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm looking for just having fun, I won't do it if I can't have the reverence for it and the respect for it, because that's where you get into bad trips.
Uh-huh.
And that's
another statement.
Yeah, and I've had a few situations where I wasn't in the right headspace and did not have the right intention going into it, and I did not have a good I haven't had a bad trip in probably 20 plus years.
Mm.
But I've had some trips that were, you know, my birthday a few years ago, I did too much acid, too much Molly, and got stuck in a time loop in my bedroom. and was like seeing all this stuff that was like freaking me out, like images that I remember from my childhood,
right,
that I didn't have a place for them, and now I saw Mamba when I was a kid.
Mm.
And now I'm seeing him, and I was seeing him and Tsunami and some other people, that they were all there. And I was like, I had this vision 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So it just freaked me out. I ended up like saying, I need Benadryl me. I'm done
for this particular
for that particular trip. So
okay.
So I was talking to Makai about this, and so anyway, I did the DMT out the desert. And it was the crystals in the crack pipe, and did one big hit, and then did a second big hit, and did a third big hit, and everything fractured.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the machine elves. I see the beings behind the scenes.
Oh my God!
And they all turn, look at me, and say, "You're back." And then I black out. No. You didn't laugh at that. I laugh at that because that alone freaked me out.
It's a relative situation, sir. I relate to them.
Yeah, because it's like, you're back? What? Are you telling me I'm some machine elf that escaped the system? Are you telling, what are you trying to convey to me? And I've never gone down that road again. I've used DMT pens couple times over the years, but you can't get to that point with a
right.
DMT pen, you know, and you can't really get there with any other, you have to do it with DMT, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't gotten there yet. I was talking to Makai about this, and I told him the story, and he's like, yeah, you're dealing with very powerful medicine, and you're supposed to be scared to go into it. You're not supposed to, like, we're going to party and have a good time here. You're dealing with, you're going on a new level with it.
Yeah.
And I haven't been at a point where I'm ready to go on that journey. And now I feel like I am.
Mm.
And, you know, we're sitting there talking and stuff like that. And, I quit smoking. And
thank you.
Big ups.
Oh yeah, 30 years of smoking, you know. And I've cut red meat out of my life because it's not good for my heart, you know. I keep my substances down to really bare minimum. You know, it's mm-hmm. like I'm already preparing my body for it. He's like, you know, switch over to a plant based diet for the week before, no
mm-hmm.
substances for 2 weeks.
Yep.
You know, it's like I've already been kind of mentally preparing myself for it.
Yeah,
I've penciled in the end of October as when I'm going to try it.
Okay.
And just so that gives me time to like get my brain around it and like, okay, we're gonna do this, you know. And it still scares me a little bit because I'm like, I don't know, I don't want to, you know. It's like I want to wait until after I said this to somebody, or I'm doing a Rain Tales about it. I want to wait until after Fraggle's death date, because I don't want her fucking ass showing up while I'm fucking tripping on fucking DMT. Because this is the kind of shit that woman would do from the afterlife. And my brain would summon her, and I have this thing in my head where when I'm ready to go, when I'm ready to leave this mortal coil, I'm going to see her.
Uh-huh.
I just know that she's going to be that. She's my ferryman. You know?
Well, I can say that acceptance is definitely a soothing remedy for what the mind tends to come up with about, you know, any of these transitions. I mean,
tell me about your experience.
So, you know, it's interesting because I've been delving into this thought surrounding anesthesia.
Yeah.
And what is that? You know, like, where do you go, you know, when it's anesthesia? And I've never, you know, had surgery at that level to have to, you know, go under. But it's a science. There's a science to it that has to be, you know, pretty calculated and structured, and yet they don't know where you go.
I mean, I've had some major surgeries, and I'm thinking about where did I go.
Yeah, so I just think it's fascinating to delve into the word esoteric has come to mind, but that's not it. The outer body, the outer realm, or the auric field of our existence, right? So when I went to do my first one, I knew I was going to do it about 3 months ahead of time, and I had a vision. Since I've been in Vegas, I've definitely been partaking in extracurricular activities, we'll call them.
Everyone is one to do when they're in Vegas.
Yeah, no.
Extracurricular.
Extraterrestrial. And, but the only thing I had ever, the deepest, I've partaken in DMT. I've been partaking in DMT since 2016. So when I was laughing, you were talking about the machine.
The machine house.
Mine was more like it was the people around me.
Yeah.
But they all just were looking at me like, we're all in on it.
Yeah.
And we've been, you know, everybody's watching you because this is your show and we're just here for the party or something. It was some wild shit. I mean, I know it was partially party induced because I was at a, let's say it was a party for party's sake.
Yeah.
And that freaked the shit out of me. The next DMT experience that was meaningful, was at Tecopa, at the hot springs, and I literally, you know how you have the lines on your hands, the palm of your hands? I looked at the palm of my hands, and there was no lines. Everything was covered in the fabric of what I have deemed the fabric of reality, but it was like little cells, little cells, like little, cytoplast or whatever. I mean, it was literally every 360, all, you know, all in all directions, spherical. Everything was the same.
Yeah.
Everything melted in and blended in the same. And I thought, oh yeah, I'm not here anymore. I'm gone. This is the end. Like I've passed on. And that was the DMT experience. So I knew going into, and then I did combo, which is non-psychoactive. and the cleanse. And it's so interesting because with the cleanse came the feeling of all the cosmic changes and differences that come with detoxing your body from whatever toxins are in your system, but not the it's not the psychoactivity.
Yeah.
So I just had this underlying knowing that generational curses have been shifted, changed, transitioned, and that I was cleansed to start anew. That was in 2020 when I did combo. So then when the ayahuasca came around, as I said, 3 months before, I had a vision. And by this time, I had been doing the extracurriculars pretty heavily, and I had discovered that I have a propensity to one of the extracurriculars in particular.
Yeah.
Propensity into extracurriculars in particular.
Yep.
And so I got a vision, it was a complete, total immersion into an understanding that where I was spoken to, and it was like, we will not play nicely with that particular extracurricular.
Yep.
If that is in your system, you basically don't show up with that in your system, basically.
Yeah.
So it was the first time in my about 9 years of partaking that I take a whole month off of that.
Yeah.
And this was right before the eclipse. Texas eclipse, which I wound up going to. And it was the most serene, surreal experience I have ever... You can't put it into words. And it's just like once you do it, everyone knows. Once you go there and you cross the threshold, it's like, oh. And to be clear, in my mind, the music medicine of the portion of the ceremony is really where it's at, because they have the Icaros, which these are traditional chants and songs that they sing during the process, and it helped me lock in more to my understanding of music as medicine.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like it's the combination of the chemicals, which is the plant medicine, the ayahuasca, the chakruna,
yeah,
and the DMT, etc. The different brews that they have, the way that they make the brews. This goes down into these are the elders that do these things down in South America and the jungles. I probably should do a lot more deeper dive into that, but I definitely felt everything. I experienced a very high sensitivity to vibrations, and every vibration had a message, or was a message, or is a message, you know. It was like a jump start to what's next, and I feel like once you... It's like crossing a threshold.
Yeah.
Once you cross that threshold, I mean, it's basically like forward ever, backwards never.
Yeah.
Is the charge.
See, that's the way I'm looking at it. This is I'm starting a new cycle. I'm starting a new chapter in my life.
Yeah.
And this is a good way to launch that and get do some healing and do some insight into what's next.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it's a cleanse.
Oh, yeah.
So it's releasing that what doesn't serve you to make space for and open up the doorway for the things that will bless and support and guide you and be a part of your journey in a positive way. And everything has It's, you know, to every season, turn, there is a reason, turn. Yeah, that kind of vibe, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, and it's an ongoing journey, like it never stops. Once you've
we're on the radio. Go away. What do you got?
Got something from the mailbox.
Okay.
That's addressed to you from Danielle.
Oh, okay. Cool. Thank you. Okay. The conductor, everybody. He's wearing pants.
Some days, that's an accomplishment.
Today was an accomplishment. He came downstairs in his underwear, and I'm like, put your pants on. Why? I don't want you dragging your hog all over the house in your underwear, okay? So, yeah, like I said, I'm putting it far enough out that I'm going to be thinking on it and having good intentions and everything like that.
Yeah.
And just see where it goes, you know?
Yeah.
And part of me is like, if you know Makai, you know Makai as Makai.
Yeah.
But he's come a long way.
Yeah.
Getting married changed that man drastically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he is different in a different place.
Yeah.
I'm dying curious what this is. A letter from the super ex girlfriend.
Yeah. It seems he owned Maya. And everybody got to have this wonderful, beautiful experience. They all followed these amazing things. And it had zero effect on me.
Really?
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
And the practitioner was just like, you strike me as somebody who walks with one foot on each side of the veil.
Yeah.
So you see everything anyways. So this medicine had nothing for you. And really? I was just like, I was heartbroken.
That's interesting because we tried to give Dana acid before.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't do anything for her. So we tried a DMT pit for her and didn't do anything for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I can do the same thing. I can get the visuals I want. With meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the highest form of DMT, I believe, is produced and can be produced through meditation.
Well, I meditate.
At least in my
opinion,
it's anecdotal.
Mushrooms are my favorite. Like, I absolutely stand for mushrooms 100% of the time. Like, I have processed through so many things and just grown so much in that plant medicine journey. But, like, I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited for myself, so.
Dude, I'm glad, I'm really happy that you're taking the approach that you're taking, the approach of reverence. And, I mean, as a, you know, someone who came into the party scene, somehow I had an understanding and I knew that all of the party things that I was, party extracurriculars that I was introduced to, funny enough, I mean, I didn't start, can I say smoking?
Yeah.
Smoking herbs until I was 28. You know what I'm saying? Almost 20 years ago. But that's late in life for of a lot of my peers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I did, at 16, I did hit it, and I was so paranoid and so afraid that my mom was going to find out that I don't think I really got to benefit. Because I was worried about walking into the house and getting smacked in the face. because you know, she could smell herb, you know what I'm saying? Come to find out years later, I mean, she didn't necessarily like it, but her son, who we called my uncle, yeah, he was definitely, I remember being in his attic and seeing the roaches in the little tray and smelling the smell and, like, not really realizing what was going on, but, like,
I had the same thing with
that smell.
Well, you know, I also started taking in the herbs about 23 years ago.
Oh, yeah. For me, it was 2007 when I started, like, regularly, and I had to go through my whole phase of paranoia.
Oh, yeah, no, I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I was a teenager, and I realized, then that was when I realized, wait, my mom smokes pot.
So, like, I am both worldly and very sheltered, right? So, my grandma, God bless his soul, we were going through his greenhouse, and he was showing me his broccoli plants and his tomato plants, and I was like, oh, look at that's tree stars. So, my grandpa was growing herbs.
Oh,
I had no freaking idea. I was like, oh, grandpa.
Mm-hmm. Ah, the realizations you have later on.
Later on, I hate to admit this, I was 25. Like, I had no idea. Dude had cancer my entire life, pretty much. And, like, I never thought he smoked pot. And then I was
just
like,
Grandpa.
I was like, whoa.
And that's what, it really is medicine.
Yeah, no, totally.
All the
extracurriculars can be used
as medicine.
And that can give you a drug.
I remember one of the chants I heard. So I heard ayahuasca curandera. I heard chacruna curandera, and then I heard coca curandera.
Yeah,
and I was like, what? And in its natural form, it has healing properties, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, that has basically just been exploited.
Yeah.
In the concentrated form, just like with herb. Herb, you know, the concentrate now. I mean, they got it's a certain name, one little drop of this oil it had me tripping. No, I mean, I had taken some psychedelic earlier in the day, like around 4 o'clock. And about 12 midnight, you know, I'm pretty sure that's supposed to be tapering off. But my friend gave me this. He had a little dropper. Oh, what is it? Rick Simpson.
RSO. Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
You got white girl wasted.
I took the tiniest little drop of Rick Simpson oil. And I consumed it. Mind you, I'm thinking... Yeah, I've had a nice trip. This is starting to taper off a little bit.
But Rick Simpson's coming to the party like Rick James.
My fuck your couch.
Yep.
And straight up, I was tripping harder than the L ever could have. And I mean, maybe it was a combination thing.
Yep.
I don't know, but I just know that I felt like I was supposed to be coming down, and just when I thought I was coming down, I'm way up and going higher and not coming down. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so freaking high right now. And I'd be wondering what high means in the grand realm of things. And I do remember this one mushroom trip I had on Mount Charleston on Lionsgate about 9 years ago, eight years ago, I think it was 2017 or 18. And I looked up at the stars. I had these little tiny mushrooms, Kibenzi mushrooms.
Oh, yeah. This is mushrooms. Potent.
I did not know they were that potent.
Oh, yeah.
And I made a freaking milkshake smoothie out of these mugs.
Oh.
And I was at the bottom of Lee Canyon. I turned on Lee Canyon to go up to Mount Charleston to where I was going to go. And I didn't even make it up 3/4 of the way before I was hurling, and I had to pull aside the road, and I was just like, and then when I looked up, I was like, oh my gosh. So then I took everything in me to keep going up that mountain, I was supposed to meet some friends up there, and we were going to, like, just sing and serenade, you know, for the Lions Gate, catch a little bit of the Perseid meteor shower, et cetera, et cetera.
It's like what's happening right now, so.
Yeah, exactly. And, man, when I looked up at the sky, I said, oh, I get why people say that they've seen aliens. I believe that people do see aliens and UFOs, but they're the only ones that see them because, well, for, in this particular case, seeing is an action verb. Seeing is actually making what you see appear in front of you. And I looked up at the stars, and all of the stars were connected like synapses. Like, have you ever looked at the synaptic map of the brain or something?
Yeah.
And it looked like the extension. It like Earth was the extension of my brain.
Yep.
You mean like you saw the mycelia while you were under the influence of mycelia?
Well, as above, so below. So, yeah.
Yep.
Or as so below, as above.
Yep.
Pretty much. But I saw the electrical impulses throughout the whole
galaxy.
I could see the galaxies more fine-tuned, and the galaxies were like the synaptic centers, and they were and they were just communicating, and it was like literally what I think the brain is doing. And, you know, being that they say we only use a certain
percentage of our brain, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You understand what I mean.
I get it. I have those same thoughts. Same thoughts in the same places.
And
you know?
So these medications, if you will, actually enhance the brain's connectivity and scope ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tracks. And I'm like, wow. I'm seeing parts of myself I've never seen before. And you know what else I think makes that happen is travel. I think every place that we travel on Earth is a portion of our body.
See, that's part of the ayahuasca thing for me has always been you have to go to the jungles. You have to go you have to go with the tribes and stuff like that. And it's like, no, you just gotta drive to Henderson. Which is a journey in and of itself sometimes.
Yeah.
Rude.
No, but here's the thing. I believe, and I haven't tested this out yet, so I can't say anecdotally this is factual, but if I were to do a potion here and then go to Peru and do that same potion, it's going to be different.
It's going to be different. Absolutely.
It's
going to
be
absolutely. The journey you take to get there is part of what sets up the setting.
You already understand what we're
talking about. You know.
And
but I'm also at that age where I don't want to fucking go to Peru and get in the fucking jungle. Get bugged.
Are you saying you're old?
I am old. I'm old.
Stop it.
I'm old like
Stop.
A bad heart.
Stop it.
I will drive to the deep darks of Henderson.
Yeah. Defying.
Yeah.
Defying death.
Damn.
So if we're gonna be illiterate. Illiterate, not illiterate. Alliteration, right? You defy it though.
Yeah.
You defy aging in my mind, and you defy, you've been a pinnacle of defying the like health challenges that we as humans face. Like, you've faced some of the most gnarly,
yeah,
and craziest.
And like, I'm still fucking here,
ticking and going and booming.
I'm
and
still fucking
which
here,
which means you have a strong heart, man.
Yeah, I got. It's still going, and it's still got a couple of years. Yeah. I still got another 20 years left.
Yeah,
in
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. And not only that, but with this shift of consciousness, I saw this video the other day, and they were showing me how people were like, gosh, what's the one guy? Jason Alexander, for instance, off of Seinfeld.
Yeah.
When he was on Seinfeld, when it was running in real time, you know how old he was supposed to be?
Huh.
30 years old.
Oh, jeez. I saw somewhere that Wilford Brimley.
That one. He's one of them.
51 years old when he was filming Cocoon.
Yeah.
I'm like, Wilford Brimley is, I'm the same age as Wilford Brimley. I'm like, no.
Yo, we will never be as old as they were when they were, when they were our age.
I know. Damn.
When we're their age. It's almost like we're getting younger.
Yeah, we are actually.
We were. Plug.
Well, now we're gonna play it. Yeah. All right, we're gonna play younger, and then we're gonna take a break for a second, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about whatever we want to talk about. So. Still young at heart. Synergy Information Radio. Trice is taking a smoke break with Nana, so we're gonna. I got Fury here.
Bless you. Bless you twice.
Oh, you're still muted here. Hand me that. Try put his headphones on. I'm gonna fuck with those later. So.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
He's better at projecting than I am. I'm sorry.
So I've got the Omni mic. I can just put my Omni mic on. We can all just go to that. But we were going to talk about parenting.
Because
Fury is parenting a second generation mystical being. I'm parenting second generation mystical beings. And with schools,
third generational mystical beings. I'm sorry, bro. I know your mom.
No. I'm a third generation now. Yeah, no. I made up this mystical being bullshit to kind of explain things in my life, but it's not. It's just I'm categorizing what other people have experienced, and we have just this concentration of them here in our lives right now.
We're blessed. We have some freaking amazing people in our lives.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. But yeah, we're going on a parenting journey right now with my boys and it's just and you with your boy.
RJ is amazing. RJ is a whole grown ass man now, like it's weird. It's so freaking weird.
Well, you haven't seen Eddie yet.
I saw both boys before.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Trice came over and saw Little Wolf and was like, "You're a grown ass man now with red hair, you know." He got his hair. He dyed his hair red. So, but he's 6'2" now. He's taller than me.
Huh? Let me tell you, it was an experience when my kid like looked down at me and was like, "Hey, mom, I can see the top of your head," without even trying, and I was just like.
Pizza's here.
Uh-huh. Of course you can.
Yep.
Like, my kid is tall, my kid is broad, my kid is ripped.
Oh, yeah.
My kid is built like G.I. Joe.
Yep. My kids are built like I am, so. Not G.I. Joe, but we wouldn't want to fuck with them, so.
You know, like, G's are weird.
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, because I look at Little Wolf and I see his mom, like he has a lot of his mom's features, and I look at Conductor and I see her dad in him. I still see some of me in them too.
but like not as much as when they were little. They looked like me. Little Wolf looked like me. You know, he had that same freaking smirk and everything.
So it's hilarious because everybody that meets my kiddo with their dad is like, your kid looks just like their dad. My kid is a splitting image of me. Like,
yeah, no, I don't know RJ's father, but I
bless you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I see you in him. So
he's the coolest thing I've ever made.
Yep.
And as a master seamstress, like, that's a statement. Like, I've made some really cool shit in my life. But, like, the adventure of parenting and, like...
Oh, yeah.
For starters, I had no idea. I did not want to be a parent. I did not want to have kids. I did not want to continue my line. Like, that was not my
goal. And that is the thing, is that the people who don't want to have kids are the ones that probably should have kids. I didn't even want to have kids. I was like, oh, no. I tried getting a vasectomy in my 20s. Nobody would give it to me. You know? So I went with somebody who told me they couldn't get pregnant. Lied through her teeth.
I asked my first doctor to sterilize me at 13.
Yeah.
And was told no. Because, you know, I might change my mind. RJ's a rainbow baby, so, like, I had a stillborn and 6 miscarriages. Like, I could get pregnant, but, like, could not make a human.
Yeah.
I didn't buy any baby stuff until my actual due date.
Yeah.
So, like, I was blessed that RJ decided to stay late.
Good.
42 weeks, 5 days labor, 5 days of active labor after induction.
Oh, jeez.
15 stitches, only 13 of which were necessary.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right? And because I am me, the drugs didn't work, like, at all.
Of course.
So, like, no. And then I was just like, holy shit, I have this whole being that I am now in charge of and responsible for. Like, thank God, I helped so many people raise kids before I had to, like, raise my own, right?
Yeah.
So I have 2. I have RJ and then I have Saren. And Saren lives with her dad. And she's on her own adventure, and I am a cheerleader in her life, but not really a parental figure because...
Just incompatibility.
Right?
And identifying that early is so awesome. Like, I wish I had identified the fact that me and my father are not compatible a long time before we did.
It was a lesson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, but she's doing wonderful now. You can't have a runaway living in the trafficking capital of the United States.
Yeah.
So she's doing great. And she's doing wonderful, and she's growing into her own little being. And then I've got RJ at home, who is growing into his own little being, despite all of the mistakes I've made or whatever. Like, he's a whole-ass human.
Yeah.
He opens doors. He has manners.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird seeing the trend, because I remember when both of these kids were little. And now it's like...
I remember when your babies were babies.
I know. Like, I remember, I go back and see those pictures of Eli at, like, burner events when he was a baby, and I'm like, jeez, where the fucking, now he's fucking 17 years old, and I'm like, dude, take a shower.
I got lucky, like... You know, your kids inherit your somebody or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I am selectively germophobic.
Yeah.
And so is my kid.
Good.
So, like, I have never had to argue with them to get in the shower. Like, and then honestly, and I hate to say this, but, like, it's real shit, right? As soon as getting laid was on the table, RJ was like, my hygiene is on point. I need to smell good. I've got colognes that work with my natural, like, essence. Like...
See, that's the thing. Conductor is still trains are still outweigh women.
You know?
And maybe because his tism, that's where it's at, you know? And that's okay. I'm not stressing that. I got enough drama from Little Wolf and his love life, so.
So, like, our house is different because I've never been monogamous. I'm not monogamous. I'm not straight. Right? So, like, my kids didn't know that straight monogamous people existed until they went to public school. They just assumed that everybody was queer and poly.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so, the first time a kid comes out, Archie's like, Mom, I'm gay. I'm like, high five. And then Archie's like, hey, Mom, I think I might be trans. High five.
Yeah.
And then Archie comes out and goes, Mom, I think I might be bi. And I bawled my fucking eyes out. And Archie was just like, why are you crying? I was like, oh, I'm going to be a grandma before I'm 40.
Yeah. No, Little Wolf hit me with him being pan. I was like, go for it. You know, whatever, you know, I've always accepted my kids. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to do, you know. You know, he leans towards the ladies, and that's okay, you know. He's got a girlfriend right now. They're happy together, and, you know, whatever that happens, what happens, so.
Well, like, so in our house, things don't have genders, things don't have pronouns, things, we are literally, like, my gender is no thank you.
Yeah.
Right? And so when RJ was like, I'm trans, we were like, okay, so we're going to respect pronouns, we're going to do all the things, because, like, I have always been the wall between my kids and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Right? So even if I'm not attached to my gender, if my kid was attached to their gender, I'm going to support that.
Yeah.
And then eventually we all just hit this point where it was just like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm not getting hung up on pronouns. My preferred pronoun is bitch.
My pronouns, I actually, so I was forced to create a list of pronouns for myself by a trans person who said that my lack of gender identity invalidated their gender identity. So my pronouns are she, her, they, them, sir, or daddy. You can pick, and whatever you, what, I just mirror your energy. Whatever honorific you decide to tag me with, that's how I show up.
Yeah. Seriously. It's so fluid, and so, it's not a big deal. You know, it's not, it's...
Oh, I don't let people call me mom unless I made them from scratch.
Well, yeah, no. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's a little weird, so.
As a Latina, being like, please don't call me mommy.
No, like I said, I just, it's weird raising these kids, you know, because they're like, especially like, because I'm raising my kids are kind of still kind of feral, they kind of, you know, they had, Little Wolf had a party over here a couple weeks ago, and had his guy friends over, and his female friends over, and it was just absolute chaos.
That was the condom conversation.
That was the condom conversation.
Because, like, do you need me to drive some over to your
Because there was a 13-year-old, there was a 13-year-old girl hanging out with a couple of fucking 13-year-old guys. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to be cooled down about this because this girl can hang with these guys. You know, she was saying some shit that was like, okay, you know, maybe you can educate them a little bit. Because that was, when I was a teenager, I hung out with girls, and I got an education from them.
Mm-hmm.
I learned about periods. I learned about stuff like that. You know, I learned more about women than I from actual women,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to fuck around and find out. You know,
that's good.
That's good, and I want the next generation to be that cool and open. And I'm like. But still, at the same time, it's part of my brain's going, at 13, you were fucking, you need condoms at 13.
So, like, my kiddo, the birds and the bees conversations. So, like, I talk to their dad, and I'm like, hey, we should have this conversation with our kids. And, like, I'm a consent educator, right? So, like, consent has always been key in our house. And so, like, but I was like, no. This is, like, a rite of passage thing. Like, dad needs to be involved in this. So dad was like, yeah, no, I got this covered. And I was like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, walk me through this. He was like, no, don't worry about it. It's man to man. And I was like, oh, fuck me. Right?
Yeah.
So, apparently, the extent of the birds and the bees conversation was, son, someday somebody's going to suck your dick. And when that happens, I'm going to give you a high five and we're going to share a beer. Well, not to talk crap about Clark County, but the math wasn't mathing, and he didn't realize what all possibilities happened there.
Yeah.
So, of course, things happen, right, at a sleepover with somebody of the same gender.
Yep.
At dad's house. Not a mom's house.
Nope.
Not a mom's house. Mom who has been slut-shamed and I'm so free and blah, 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 because I'm poly. And so, like, there's this whole thing. I had no idea what had freaking happened. No idea. My kid calls me bawling. My kid doesn't cry.
Yeah.
Right? Bawling. Like, I'm like, dude, the fuck happened? Please. Tell me, like, my brain is going to all of the worst things possible. Right?
Yeah.
And my kid's like, Mom, I got a blowjob. And I was like, okay, was it consensual? And they were like, yes! I was like, all right, let's go get some Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
So we got some Dutch Bros, and kiddo looks at me and is like, we're not talking about this. And I said, okay. We're not talking about this. So, some time passed. We're not talking about it. Oh, do you know how hard it is not to talk about something for me? Like, dude. And I've been sitting on it. Like, I've got so many questions. And I'm like, are you okay? Like, so many questions, right? But I'm like, no. When you decide as a parent that you can be a safe space for anything, you have to prepare yourself for anything, right? So I was like, all right, we're not talking about it. We're not talking about it. Couple weeks pass, and we're eating chicken wings at the kitchen table. Chicken wings. And kiddo has freaking barbecue sauce on their forehead. And I just looked at them and I was like, hey, I have a question. I was like, but this question is about something that we're not supposed to talk about. And they were like, okay. I was like, so how many lights were on? And they looked at me and they were like, what? And I was like, how many lights are on when this whole thing went down that was such travesty, like the thing that we're not talking about? And they were like, none, Mom. And I was like, you know what? I don't think it happens. And they were like, what? And I was like, I have no evidentiary support that you know where your mouth is. So I'm going to go with, yeah, you're still a virgin. And they start busting up laughing. And they were just like, did you just crack a sex joke at me? And I was like, absolutely. I 100% just did.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That just happened. And they were just like, so you're not mad, you're not disappointed, you're not sad? I was like, I'm sad that this became a trauma thing for you. I was like, honestly, at the end of the day, like, high five.
Yeah.
And they were just like, how are you not the parent that got upset about this? So I was like, I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, but we don't have good things, bad things. Like, we don't put virtuous value on things like that in our house because life happens. And it's our lives are all built from experiences and micro-experiences and decisions, right? And, like, if you want to be the parent that your kid can come to with anything, you have to be open to receiving anything.
Exactly.
Which is why when you were like, oh my God, I'm freaking out, I was like, do you need me to bring you condoms? I've got like four different sizes of them. They're non-latex. They're lubricated.
Yeah. No. I handled it very well, and I'll handle the next one very well, and we'll see where we go from there. So, yeah. The one that got me was the interactions that kids like our kids aren't normal.
Mm-mm.
And I see interactions because like when they had the party over here, we had a mom over here, and she was a cool mom. You know, she was tatted up and you know little Latina fire thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's like I don't know how to interact with parents. My kids understand Burning Man shit. They've, you know, I don't know what's going on in your household, you know.
My first, like, parent friend, essentially, like, kiddo was in kindergarten, was like, you have to meet my best friend's stepmom. You guys are going to be best friends. And, like, they set up a play date for us so that they could hang out.
Yeah.
And so and now he's my bonus kid. Like,
cool.
Right? Like, but for the most part, I look at people when they're like, oh, I'm a parent, you're a parent, we should be friends. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm.
No. Little Wolf has his best friend, his dad, his best friend's dad is a Metro police officer.
Oh!
Yeah. So
that's
it's like,
exciting.
It's like, we can't hang. I can hang out with him. You know, I'm going to be the cool dad, and I will talk to the parents as much as I can and try to not be weird, but it's going to come out weird, so.
I'm blessed. The first two rules in our house are no cops and no fucking cops. My kiddo has pretty much adhered to that, like, anytime they're like, so-and-so's blah, 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 I'm hanging out with them, and I was like, oh, what's their parent doing? And they're like, oh, their dad's a cop, I can't hang out with them anymore. I'm
yeah,
like,
no, because I've known too many cop kids over the years, and I know the dumb shit these two are doing, and I'm like, your dad obviously does not know the dumb shit you're doing.
Oh, I mean, when I was a kid, I dated the sheriff's son. In a tiny town.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Getting the cops called on us, we built a, like, Viking funeral pyre out on Lake Mead.
Uh-huh.
And we pushed it into the water, and we lit it on fire, and it was like, because, you know, playing with fire.
Yeah.
Right? So these tourists called the cops on us. Oh, my goodness. It was me and my friend Kyle. And so Kyle's dad pulls us. Because some degenerate children were being miscreants. And, like, he looks at the burning pyre in the water and was just like, what do you want me to do? Like, and they were like, they're lighting stuff on fire and polluting. You need to go talk to them. So he comes over and he's like, what did you guys use as an accelerant? And we were like, flint and steel. Where'd you get the materials to build it? From around the lake. like, we were doing it as responsible as possible, right?
Yeah.
And Kyle's dad was just like, what do you want me to do? Because these children are responsibly playing with fire.
Yes. All right. We got food here. We're going to play some music. And this is the notification to Nana that Trice needs to come back in the studio once you guys have the food in you. So
we can talk about love.
We're going to talk about love. And let's go way, way back with some music here. This is
Marvin Gaye, right? You're going to play Marvin Gaye.
This is DJ Jazzy Jeff of the Prince, Fresh Prince. Parents just don't understand. So I occasionally throw a song on that I don't like. And that was one, Fancy, by Oklahoma's own Reba McEntire. Oklahoma's own Reba McEntire. I'm sober, too, by the way. So Reba did this song back in the 90s. It's still considered one of the top 25 country songs of all time. It's about trafficking your daughter. Why can't people get behind that? This is not something we're talking about. I'm killing time because everybody's getting they're still getting their shit together. So I'm sitting here just by myself. So if you are going to the burn, be sure to turn into Shouting Fire on 99.5 Radio Equinox. I will be on Friday of Burn Week from 5 to 7. I just decided that today, and I will be doing my show here. I'll do a show that'll be broadcasting live there, and I'll be on Shouting Fire, and I will advertise the shit out of that. So if you are going to the Playa, go tune me in. So if you're not going to the Playa, you can tune me in also. So we'll have some fun on a Friday. So. Oh, why don't we play? What do we want to play? I have a new category in my music called Santa's Faves. And I've been playing stuff out of that, so... Wait, they're coming back, so... There, play that real quick here. Alright, play a little Spinal Tap.
These are my monkeys.
It's like y'all.
I'm gonna keep saying that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because when the person realizes that is their reaction to the situation of said... Yeah, what it says, drugs, what it says, drugs, or whatever it is, whatever.
Anybody who has ever bought, sold, or consumed deserves to be slaughtered. I was like,
Jesus.
Ah!
It's Energy Information Radio, we're back live with Fury and Trice, and we're talking about, we're segueing into the conversation about love.
Oh.
Yeah, put your mic down towards your mouth when you get a chance. Fury, say something.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Okay.
I hear both of you better, so. Love is mystical beings that ever bequest.
What is that? I'm sorry for the chicken eating noises.
It's okay. My art director was messaging me, so she sent me I got something in the mail from her. I was like, what the hell did she send me? She sent me some stickers because I lost all my stickers in the fire. And so I'm trying to rebuild my sticker collection, and she just had some reprints of her her gate stickers from 2022.
Waking Dreams. Mm-hmm.
And then her Zebra Approved stickers, which I have found, it's good to put that on something every once in a while, just Zebra Approved. I'm gonna order some more stickers. I'm gonna get back on my sticker game soon, so.
I'm in the process of getting stickers.
You need stickers.
I have more time than I thought it was this Friday and not next Friday.
That's next Friday, so yeah, we're doing a night swim next Friday, so we're gonna.
It's next Friday.
Next Friday, yeah. And I don't know if you heard me. I'm going to be on the radio at BMI at Shouting Fire on the burn. Are you? You're going to the burn this year, right?
I am 75%.
75% there. Okay.
I know that sounds like bullshit, but it's the truth. Well, I'm kind of. Here's the thing. I can go, but I'm also open to, you know, if a gig comes up, a really good gig comes up,
yeah.
You know, I'm open to pursuing that more so than going to the burn. So,
Well, yeah,
I've been putting some feelers out for stuff. So,
make money. You know, that's the important thing. Is.
Honestly, and if I'm being honest, it's not really for me. It's not going to be it helps to make money doing what I do, but it's more about being productive. That was my New Year's resolution, is productivity, to be, to have some deliverables on my productivity, basically.
Yeah.
And so I'm smack dab in the middle of it, baby.
Hey, I'm still trying to figure out how to make money off my bullshit.
There are things that I can do that going to the burn would add to the level of productivity as far as like performances and stuff like that. It's just that it's free.
Yeah.
But it's not free for me.
It's not free for you.
And I mean, I don't think of it as that when I go to the burn, because anytime I sing, it's my gift.
Yeah.
It's me sharing the gift. And I know it's kind of cliche, but I get to carry my gift giver around every day, all day, wherever I go. But I don't know. It's a blessing to me. So I'm not necessarily, I'm offering it,
Yeah.
As a gift. And if you receive it that way, great. And if it falls on deaf ears, hey. That's your journey.
Absolutely.
You didn't come to the burn for this part.
Yeah. Hey, I always get a kick out of hearing you sing, especially when it's not expected. You know, it's like some random 7 o'clock in the morning, you're waking up and Trice is singing in the hot tub.
Do you know how spoiled I am? I get to hear this man bust out into random musical magic all the fucking time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's only when I feel it.
Yeah, no.
It's only when I feel it. I've the first time I think I experienced that, the feeling of, so I have this saying now, it's like, it's not a saying that I came up with, something I heard somebody say. It's like, you're not dance monkey dance. And literally it was on somebody in the street that I knew, that I met, that I seen, and I knew, and then they roll up on you like you with your people.
Yeah.
And they're like, they got their people, and they're just like, oh, it's so good to see you, da, da, da. Bust out a song.
Yeah.
Nah. I can't say that I am comfortable with doing something on command as much as I am doing something that's offered from, like when I want to do it, because I want to do it, and that way it's authentic, On command thing feels inauthentic.
I couldn't imagine being paid to do Rand Tales.
So like, hold on. Back to parenting.
Oh, okay.
Right? Chice comes over, and RJ's like, bruh, we need a selfie, because none of my friends believe that I know you. Because my kiddo has all of their friends listening to Trice's music on Spotify.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, he's like, yeah, use my phone, bro. Like, yeah. He comes over to the house all the time, and they tried to call him on his shit.
Yeah.
So, like, no crap. Kiddo and Trice had to take a fucking selfie.
Fuck yeah.
To put it in the Discord. And everyone was like, oh, shit. He's in your house.
Yeah.
And yo. It was like, yeah, not to, like, brag, but my mom's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
She knows some people.
See, that's a different kind of moment right there. That's definitely not a dance monkey dance moment. That's a, how do you want to show up in the world? Well, this is one of the ways I want to show up in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Is to help a kid, like fucking prove that
they got some
big, that to his friends that this guy that they all like listen to and watch.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I'm gonna help. That's on everything I love. That's a 7-year-old trice. You know what I'm saying? That's for 11-year-old trice. That's a 14-year-old trice. You feel me?
Yep.
Make that young brother's dreams come true. You know what I'm saying? All his friends. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, that's where it's at.
Oh, yeah.
That's where it's at. Like, to know that the people that you care about. Like, I did a DJ set a couple weeks ago. And, yo, they was singing my songs, yo, word for word.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I was crying, man. I was up on the freaking, back behind the DJ deck, fucking bawling. Halfway, couldn't barely sing the song. I'm like, what? Oh no! Come on.
Hey, I play your music all the time. I love it. No, I said one time. You sing songs of ancient religions that haven't been formed yet.
Oh, and on that note, at some point might you queue up stargazing?
Yep.
Because that sounds like that song.
That's no.
But yeah, it's a blessing, man.
It's a gift. It's a beautiful gift. I love talking about people. I love sharing stories about you, not specifically you, but just the lives that we live.
Yeah, man.
That's my gift, is like documenting this stuff and talking about, you know, everything and having, you know, be this conglomeration of mythical beings in one place, you know. It's like it's amazing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing the next generation coming up of mythical beings coming up, it blows my mind sometimes.
Same but different, though. I gotta tell you. But it doesn't matter as long as they're getting it. As long as they're getting it.
Yep.
As long as it's coming through. And, you know, it's so crazy because when I was raised, the way I was raised with, you know, an older lady, old enough to be my grandmother, and she, you know, she didn't want us to listen to the songs that had cuss words in it.
Right.
And so I never... If I were listening to hip hop, I had to sneak it, and it was just like I'm listening to it, and I'm like, the only thing I'm noticing is the cuss words, you know what I'm saying? Like, and so I'm not really like locking in on the flow state unless it was like really basic. But like some of the more advanced, you know, MCs were spitting some crazy. Like, I can't believe how many times I've listened back to what they were saying, and I was like, oh. They was on some mythical, magical, mythological, you know what I'm saying, metaphysical, you know, craziness. And so I missed a lot of it in that age, but I guess as mature, you know, the maturation of Trice BB, I don't know where that came from, but somebody said that before.
Trice BB?
Trice BB. is like... paralleling, you know what I'm saying? And so I feel like my second coming of age is really in my 40s, has been.
Oh, yeah.
Late 30s, early 40s, and I'm just like, oh, wow. The desert. In the desert and Burning Man and even though I do miss the green trees and grass a little bit, but I do not miss that humidity, cuz.
Oh, man. This week in Vegas with the humidity.
I fucking love humidity. I don't understand it.
Oh, my God, the humidity kills me.
As long as the sun is not too hot, it's okay.
Yeah.
If there's a little breeze blowing. But see, the thing is, the breeze and the humidity, they don't play with the
other. No, you get...
So we got the dust storm the other day, so now it's just the moisture. But I don't know.
The other day at my house, we had the dust storm, and then we had rain, and then we had hail, and then we had more rain.
We got nothing. We got nothing.
the wind picked up something like I left to go pick up a conductor from school today, mm-hmm. and I come back and the gazebo that I had not anchored down in the backyard was on the brick wall back there. It was all it blew away, and I was like, there was no wind. We get little micro things happening in the backyard sometimes. Right. So,
wow. Just like that.
Just like that. Just like it just comes down and hits and like boom. I'm like, I know better. I know better. I need to dig out my anchor bolts and.
It's like you know better.
I know better. I've just been lazy, so.
Man, can I tell y'all like the biggest thing that my biggest takeaway from Nana's talk?
Okay.
Gratitude. It was a reminder for me to be grateful, even in the down times, in the times when things are like not so fun and not so cool or suck ass, hell, rock bottom, whatever the fuck you want to call it, that if you can be grateful in those moments, I mean, gratitude is across the board. Like, in moments of joy, it's only right to be grateful. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? In my mind, you know, that's just like common sense, right? You know, but it's very hard to be grateful to people because they let the angst of the situation or the fear of the fear that's caused by the situation to like not allow them to, you know, try to see it in a different light. I mean, that doesn't say much for some people who are like going through like torturous things and like, you know, genocides and stuff like that. But again, sometimes it could be an accelerant even to how to to get to a point of like of intelligence, of understanding that as bad as it is, I probably know of someone that has it, you know, worse. If we're speaking of superlatives.
Yeah. it could be grateful for what you got. I'm grateful,
you know,
every day for what I've got and for what I've, you know, for this house and for my health and for being alive, you know.
And she said that. She said, I'm so grateful to be living this, like, the life that I'm living in.
Yeah.
See the things that I get to see and the experiences. She was like, I'm so grateful to be able to see technology and live with technology. And, oh, man, like, she dropped some knowledge on me about, like, she was like in, I think, like, in 62, she went to the World's Fair.
Oh, yeah.
And she saw the first TV phone or television phone.
Oh, yeah.
Video phone. And got to talk to somebody randomly. Like, I was like, oh, snap. So it must blow your mind just to, like, to know that we got little computers in our hands.
Shit in our life. I love having those conversations with Nana about, you know, when you realize that, you know, her childhood, she had an outhouse.
Oh, I do remember outhouses.
I've had indoor plumbing my entire life, so it's like,
oh man, I know what the shit of get off the pot means because of the outhouse.
Oh yeah,
you could if it was cold and you had to, you know, poo, like if you had to pee, like you just go outside real quick and get it over with. But if you had to poo, like you're not trying to go out there and sit on the cold, you know, like ooh, so like you know, use the pot.
Yep.
Oh, you don't want to do your number two on the back porch while it was wide open because it's not enclosed like the outhouse? Well, shit, I get off the pot because somebody else got to use it.
Yep.
So, it makes me think about things like that, though, like growing up on a farm, you know what I'm saying, the old school tractors and goats and fucking chickens and cows and... Man, it's pretty wild to think, like, I got to experience that world, the world of the phone with the...
Cord your phone.
Yo, 8-track.
8-track.
You remember 8-track?
I remember 8-tracks.
What? You know what I'm saying, man? To get a record player as a kid...
Oh, yeah.
...was like... The creme de la creme, like, but you know what's crazy? How it translates now? I don't know if it would be lost on some kids, but I feel like some kids would get it, especially the old soul little kids. If you get a kid a record player and their first piece of vinyl, potentially, if it's something that they really into, it's going to start the flow of someone that's going to be like collecting the vinyls, and
yep.
spinning, and maybe even DJ. You know, maybe
oh, yeah.
you know. I mean, here I am. I won't never call myself a DJ because I can't cut and scratch, but I know how to select. I know how to blend.
Yep.
I'm a musician, and that's a musical board. So it's like, to me, I'm just making music on a DJ board.
I'm a different kind of DJ, so.
I mean, yo, disc jockeys were disc jockeys.
Yeah, and I put together great playlists. And
that's what it is. That's what
flow, this is. The flow of music, and like I can hear a song and like, okay, this needs to go with that.
And look at technology.
Oh, yeah.
Taking it from where we can appreciate vinyl, but you ain't got, when you got a disc jockey and you do your job, and you got a gazillion songs to pick from.
Yeah, I go to my library and I pick what songs I want to play. So.
Because how many records are you really going to be able to have in your space?
Exactly.
I can see a positive in the macro. And I can see a positive in the micro, you know what I'm saying? Like, on the large scale and the small scale, like, it's just that our awareness is so consumed a lot of times by so much that's out there. And so it's very important on how we choose to, like I said, how we choose to react to things because, yeah, I think, especially like in the loss, you know what I'm saying, when you lose someone or something that you know is not going to be able to come back and you mourn it and you feel grief. But even then, like my mama told me before she passed, and that's what really helped me with her passing, was remember the good times. She said, I know you're going to cry and you're going to be sad. She said, but I want you to remember the good times.
Yep.
Remember the times that we went to, like, Coney Island and to you know, Nathan's Hot Dogs and you know, like, the Myrtle Beach. And, you know what I'm saying? Like, and the times that we just had cookout in the backyard, his sister's birthday, you know, like, we all participated in that. And so I really took it to heart when she said that because I didn't, I wanted to, I started being pre-sad because I knew, you know, that time was, you know, once she said she wasn't ready to be here, she didn't want to be here any longer, she wanted to rest, I was like, well, you deserve to rest, and I don't hold you, I will not try to hold you here, you know, like, you feel free to rest when you're ready to rest, and so then we had a few more months of conversation, and that's when she dropped the remember the good times, you know what I'm saying, like, smile. And maybe turn on a song that you love that we like to listen together to and laugh and cry with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, those will be ways to help you, you know, because you know you need to know that I would not want you just walking around here just a total mess and can't move on with your life. You know, I would want you to move on and keep going and carry on the legacy and keep everything, you know what I'm saying, on the forward motion and not get stuck and get stagnant and grief and loss because there can be a thief.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I know.
Grief can be a thief. That's the bar.
At some point, Nana's going to leave this world.
Yeah.
And it's going to break my heart, but I've got such great memories and such... Yeah, I still got time with her. That's why I love having her on the radio.
And that's it, too. Cherish the moment we have
exactly,
now.
Exactly, you know?
Which is why she was having that conversation with me in the first place, because we were just cherishing, being grateful that we have this moment to you know, and then it goes into the well. At some point, it works. I think it works. I think it's difficult, but it works. To be in balance with it, yeah. Cry your ass off. You know what I'm saying? Like wallow in tears and all that good stuff. I mean, I think that's inevitable. You know, I still do it for my sister. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like she left after. And I thought I could apply the same thing, but it was different because it was like, bam.
Yeah.
That was close to me, you know? So, but yeah, I think gratitude is that thing, man. That's the lesson du jour is to be grateful for all that is, how it is, even in the midst of the chaos, it's like gratitude. We can still have peace.
Yep.
We really can. We might not be happy or joyous all the time, but we can still have peace.
Yeah.
We can be consoled. We can have solace, you know, and comfort in knowing that we're going to go on. We're going to keep moving until we can't no more.
Yeah.
And that's what we came here to do.
Let's play some music, and then we'll come back and talk about some love.
Stargazing.
Let's do some Madonna.
Oh, Madonna? Okay, good.
You love...
Well, it's been a while since I broke this out, but let's play the, let's do this. Yep, it's the final hour, folks. I actually went over 2 hours this time, so we're going to 3 hours. We're going to talk about it, just because that's the way these conversations go. That's just, you know, the more people that I have, the better the vibe is. I can't do 3 hours on my own anymore. So, but we're
going to unpack yourself for 3 hours.
Yeah, not really.
That's just the way it is.
We're going to talk about love. And talk about partnering and companionship and stuff like that. Because I'm taking a break from women for a while.
But I'm afraid I don't.
I'm on the journey of healing and self-discovery and stuff like that. Part of that is no women.
Them women folk. You gotta keep them over there.
Yep. No. I still love all my women. I will enjoy them more later, but I want to work on myself here. So
I think my favorite was when Santa walks to my house and I'm like, okay, we're gonna go hang out on my bed, but like none of that weird sex shit.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just the comfiest spot of my freaking
yeah,
house.
Yeah, exactly.
Like my bed is so. God,
your bed is very comfortable. I'm working on getting my bed back to my original comfort zone. So
it's ridiculous because I have disordered sleeping. I always have. That's a $10,000 mattress.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not spending that
and
much.
It's worth every fucking penny. Oh, my God. Me and my better best friend.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting there with my bed.
It's ginormous. Like, my bed is huge.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna get a king-size bed in my room, too. So, I'm still getting used to it. I'll only take up a little corner of my bed. My bed is designed for having multiple people in bed with me. So,
yeah. I like it with the bed, so that way. Like, I can get away with it with a queen-size.
King size is the way to go.
No, fair. I mean, I can get away with a queen size.
No, yeah, no.
But
no.
I definitely, man, I used to toss mattresses back in 2001, yeah. No, 2004, sorry. I was tossing mattresses in Maryland. But I remember the California Kings, man.
Oh, yeah. That's a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
That's
a bed of some action.
Well, the bedding technology has changed very much.
It has. Though. It has.
In a great way. Like the whole memory foam. I guess it's a great way. I mean, I don't know what's memory foam even made out of. Probably something up there.
Yeah, it's something that's bad. Bad shit environment. So
like, don't get me wrong. Memory foam's great, but hybrid's where it's at. Like, everybody's just like, Chris, your bed is so comfy. I'm like, yeah, it's hybrid. It's got springs and foam.
Hey.
So it's both supportive and soft.
I rock with it. I rock with it. I rock with the foam and springs combination. That's pretty, yeah, makes sense to me. There's a place that love can be made.
Yes.
Well, you know what's more important than the bed itself? The mattress.
Yes.
It's the mattress cover.
Mattress cover, yes. What are you putting over the mattress? Yes.
At the end of the day, I look at everybody and they're like, you spend stupid money on a bed? And I'm like, yeah, but you put a mattress cover on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it lasts forever.
Right?
Yep.
Facts.
Yeah, facts. I gotta get some more comfort in my bed right now. I'm still getting, I'm getting there with getting the castle set back up. So.
What size bed do you have?
King size.
I got a mattress cover for you.
Okay. I want to get some memory foam up. I've got a pillow top on it right now. I want to get some memory foam on there also, so it's like,
yeah,
you're sinking into it.
Don't turn anybody into a sprinkler in your bed until you have a mattress cover.
Well, that's back to my journey of love and keeping the women's aways and. I wasn't intending on being celibate.
So, my loves, you know I'm woman, so... Right?
I know. You check all the boxes, I know.
Like, I got skinny parts.
Yes. I don't have any desire to have relations right now. Like, I'm just in that I'm good with being, I'm good with being celibate right now. You know, I get to, if the opportunity presented itself, I would not say no. But I'm also not pursuing the opportunity because that's taking energy away from my own healing journey.
Which is, so in essence, you're practicing disciplined self-love.
Yes. That's
close to me.
And that may last for, I don't know. At the end of the day, what I want is I don't want a partner. I've decided I don't need a partner anymore.
I want a companion.
I want someone to go on adventures with.
Yeah, man.
I want someone who has their shit together, they have their own life, and they want to be a part of my life, but not all the time. They want to step in and, like, play with us and play with me in my life and be part of this magical world. And then they go home.
I concur. I mean, I think
there's too much emphasis is put on partnership.
Yeah.
And coupling, you know.
Well, and then, you know, the purpose... Are people, when they come together, are they being intentional about, you know, how they want to show up and which way they want to travel and
exactly.
Journey? Because a lot of people are so after the connection being this solid thing and having a unit that they tend to... Myself included, tend to overlook certain potential issues and challenges that could arise, or clashes that could arise.
Yeah,
because you want to make this thing work.
Yeah.
Despite your differences, it's kind of like
it's like trying to figure.
You got to choose your battles wisely at this point.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to figure out. You know, I'm not monogamous. I'm not a monogamous person.
Facts.
But I'm also not really poly. I don't want to date multiple partners. I don't want partners. I want companions.
Okay.
All right.
So.
Tip us.
I have never been monogamous. ever. Period. Never worked. Never thought. Like, I grew up with plague kids. And I crack up because when people are like, you speak like you have all this dating experience. But like, yeah, I've got hundreds of years of dating experience.
Yep.
Not because I'm hundreds of years old, but because I've been nurturing long relationships over decades. Like, one of my partners and I have been together for coming up on 17 years.
Yeah.
And, like, we don't live in the same city. When we are in the same city, it's magic. Life happens. It's wonderful. But, like, he's got his life. I've got my life. And we, like, they touch a little bit.
Orbit. Yeah.
They touch a little bit.
Common.
But it's like, yours is yours and mine is mine, and that's groovy.
Well, society thinks that you have to, like the example I'm giving recently is me and my relationship with Zebra. You know, we didn't break up because we fell out of love. I still have lots of love for her. She still has lots of love for me. Mm-hmm. And when we're together, we still have that lovey, flirty vibe. And people are like, are you getting back together? I'm like, fuck no.
It works how it is.
It works how it is.
No,
you know?
For sure.
You know, and that's part of what breaks my heart about the breakup with my ex is that I can't have that with her because there were so many other things going on there.
You know, when it comes to there's a weird sense of like retaliation sometimes that I think that people get when the transitions happen.
Yeah.
And I think there is a way to like approach and experience or you know go through the experience of transitioning, you know,
yeah,
the way the relationship is titled or however you want to call it, but the dynamic, that's the word I'm looking for, I guess, the relationship dynamic changes, transitions, where it could be a win-win.
Yeah.
And I think that oftentimes we wind up, you know what I'm saying, like somebody or both parties, one or both parties, in situations that I've observed and situations that I've even, you know, experienced myself, one or both parties are in a retaliation mode, you know, become retaliatory yeah. when things seem to be, you know, spreading apart. It's just like, yo, what are we trying to do? We're trying to practice repelling?
Yeah.
Anti-magnetism?
Yeah. Anti-magnetism, yeah.
You rebel. You're a rebel. But no, the self-love part is about loving yourself.
Yeah.
And making decisions that show that you love yourself.
Yeah.
So that's been my cool question for the last 2 years.
If you can't love yourself, how the hell can you love somebody else?
Yeah. Well, mine is literally this. Is this an act of self-love?
Yep.
Is this an act of self-love? Whatever I've decided to do, like, is this fulfilling me? Is this... I would love for it to be the win-win.
Yep.
Really, I do. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of hard to do when you're angry.
Yeah. No, yeah. No.
When you don't love yourself, it's very easy to love somebody else. Because honestly, at the end of the day, some people are just not their own type. But when you don't love yourself, it's really hard to know the difference between love and toxicity.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Right? Because when you hate yourself, but you're faking it until you make it,
yeah.
Right? You catch that same vibration, and that's what you perceive
the mirror,
as love.
How you see it is how you be it.
Yep.
But what you're pouring out sometimes is still amazing, beautiful, fantastic love.
You get glimpses of it.
But what you're receiving, like, I started looking at people and being like, yo, I'm not doing my level shit for fuckboy return.
Yeah.
Because that's what it was. Like, I didn't love myself. I hated myself. I was still figuring out how to love myself. And, like, of course, hindsight's 20/20, but I look at shit and I'm like, yo, I let you disrespect me out loud.
Yep.
And it took me this long to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, responsibility is your response ability.
Yep.
Your ability to respond to the situation versus reacting and, you know.
And that's the thing. Right now in my life, I'm in a place where I actually do love myself.
That's it.
I love myself. I love who this person is now. Because I'm not trying to be something for somebody else. I'm not trying to to hold up the mantle of being this fucking creature. I'm happy being myself. I'm happy with myself.
Well, like, I'm hitting that, like, 2-year mark, right, where I haven't had a local romantic partner in 2 years. And the 2 times over those 2 years that I've, like, dipped my toe back into the dating pool, first dude, oh my God, I'm so old school. He pulled up to my house and honked his horn.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was just like,
oh my,
no, am I being summoned?
Ooh.
Like, and I was, so I pretended that I wasn't home. And I just sat at my computer and was like, no. I am not responding to that.
I'm not going to be summoned like
that. Right? Nope. Right? Okay. Second time, I actually got in a dude's car. We actually got to a restaurant with a reservation that he made. And then he was so balls deep on his phone that I went to the bar, paid for my drink, called an Uber, got into the Uber, went home. He messaged me about a half an hour later asking me if I was okay because he thought I was in the bathroom.
Oh.
And I was just like, bruh, you have been trying to date me for years. And I finally threw you a freaking bone, and this is what we have.
Yeah.
No.
Damn. See, I can't imagine dating. I don't want to date. I don't want to load one of those apps on my phone and, like, go through, like, a meat market. I can't imagine that.
Like, as much as I want a companion, I'm a hopeless romantic.
No, I am too.
Like, at the end of the day.
Yeah, I'm a hopeless romantic. I want to find love. I want to find that third great love of my life. You know, I thought I had found it. It turns out I did not. I created that.
I do think that you have to. There is a level of exploration required.
But how do you meet those people?
You have to look for the ways to meet them.
No, that terrifies me. I'm just like, I don't know.
So, but we can't get nowhere until we start the exploration. Because, you know, like, what is that? Was that one Rumi saying, what you are seeking is seeking you?
Yeah.
And the thing is, what I've seen a lot, too, I've seen people, like, they'll get into situations and they're trying to write the situation according to their fantasy. And in that process, you see, it's something you said earlier, like, you know, for you, what you think of me, you love me for who you want me to be or who you think I am, not for who I actually am. It's like, literally, when you start trying to write the story, like, this is the way it's going to go, and then you see the first misstep of the other person, right? Their misstep is a misstep to you because they're doing what you don't want them to do. But their misstep might actually just be the way that they are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so a lot of people cause their own angst in being like, oh, well, that person did this and they're like this. That's why I'm like, if anything, the thing about being poly is more about being open and honest.
Oh yeah.
About how you relate. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, I'd much rather get your response, not the reaction.
Yeah. Your response.
Your response.
Yep.
To, you know, my way of being, you know what I'm saying? Because I only want it if it's something that you want. Like, if you know in your mind, like, be honest with me. Like, if this ain't for you, let me know. Like,
yeah.
Because, yeah, of course, we might be feeling each other. We might be feeling each other. But we have to be real about where we are. And then if we decide that we both want this, you know, union, this companionship, then we are willing, that we've met ourselves where we are, and we've met each other where we are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that is where, I mean, I've seen some super dope couples do it very beautifully and harmoniously. And even some of the most beautiful and harmonious couples that I've seen, because this is a vibration that we're trying to harmonize at this point. You know, you got two people,
yeah,
or two people or a few people trying to, in this day and age, of course, trying to vibrate in harmony. And it really takes everyone doing their part, their harmony, you know what I'm saying, and doing that to the best of his ability. Who am I? Who am I that's going to show up in this we thing?
Yep.
I was talking with a poly friend of mine, and I was like, I figured it out. So I have always looked at polyamory and been like, I'm a lot for one person. So it has just always made sense. Like, I have too much love to give, so let me spread it out. Right? But that doesn't mean that I pigeonhole people and relationships.
Yeah.
I have fully functioning relationships. That's how I do it. A lot of the people that I've interacted with are like, oh, my other partner is an introvert and I need somebody to be the life of the party.
Yeah.
So, like, you're going to be my party partner. And then when you let them lock down into a relationship, they're like, oh, I love that you get attention, but I don't want you to get that much attention. Yeah. And it's just like, bro, you...
That's a personal problem.
Like, you spent all this time trying to get with me, and as soon as I let you get some, you're like, can you just, like, not be so smart?
Yeah, that's a personal problem, though.
That is.
Yeah. And that's where the honesty really comes into play, like, if a person can be honest with themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's one thing I don't want to be is I don't want to be jealous of, you know, this sparkly, flashy, you know, beautiful thing that I've been fortunate to connect with and on a deeper level, and I want all to myself. I mean, I think that's a base human emotion, you know, to have, but it doesn't mean that it has to be the foundation that we build our relationship on.
Like, I had a partner who was, like, he had, quote-unquote, hot boy summer, right? And, like, that was it. He flooded it up with frickin' everybody. And it was absolutely hilarious because he was so insecure and so threatened by the male friends that I have in life. I'm like, I'm not even banging this dude on the regular, but me spending time with him unnerves you because he's a better partner to me than you are.
Yeah.
And I'm not even letting him dick me down. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yep. If you have a problem with anyone, if any of your metamors, the problem is not with them. It's usually with you. Now, notwithstanding that there are some fucked up people in this world.
Oh, yeah.
There are.
Oh, yeah.
But that's where discernment comes in. And even in your discernment of things, you still have to be, I mean, I don't have to be anything, but I desire to be balanced in how I approach, you know, my the connection. Like, I've definitely seen, you know, one of my lovers meet a guy, and he's, like, kicking his game, and I'm not bothered at all by that.
No.
That part of it, the part I'm bothered with is I know that he's a
not a good person.
Yeah, he's a fucked up human being.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to cock block, per se. I'm just like, the only thing I can say to my friend is you're a grown woman. You know, for my partner, you know what I'm saying? And you know how to make decisions based off of, you know, that's why you fucking with me.
Yeah.
So I trust you to use the same energy that you used.
Exactly.
You know, no, for real. Because it's about discernment. It's about discernment. Like,
I'm the complete opposite of that right now. If the next mofo that walks into my life doesn't pass y'all's vibe checks, like, Dan Hammer, please, veto. You all
it
have
depends.
It.
It depends.
No. Because Pandora makes bad decisions. That's why I had to throw her back in the box.
Now, that's one of my things, though. Yep. Make better choices. See, we have the power to make better choices all on our own.
Kristen can be trusted with choice. Kristen's vagina cannot be.
Yeah.
But can Kristen be trusted to manage how Kristen's vagina, you know, chooses?
Why do you think Kristen's the only person who's been dicking Kristen down for the past 2 years?
I understand. I'm just saying, as long as the yoni is happy, you know what I'm saying? I mean, shit, for the men that are going on their celibate journeys or their journeys of retention or, you know, their practices and all that levels of things like that, you know what I'm saying? Because the orgasm is a cosmic event, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'd much prefer, if I'm going to have one, that it be intergalactic, maybe intra-universal event, you know, Big Bang event versus a cosmic hiccup, you know what I'm saying?
I can't.
You know, because whether I'm having a cosmic hiccup or a Big Bang, I'm still tapping into source energy whenever I die.
It's a sacred act.
Tiny death, orgasm.
Yep.
It's a form of death. It's what maybe big death feels like, you know, when it really happens.
Oh, yeah.
God, I think of Neo plugging into the machine at the end of the Matrix.
I always
super giggle
because people are like, what's your body count? And I'm like, what counts? Like,
yeah.
When you cross the line into, okay, we had sex, right? And then people were like, well, how many people have gotten you off? And I'm like, oh, dude, I'm so close to being a virgin. It's groovy.
Well, see, my thing is...
But, like, I'm not there for the O. I'm there for the exchange, the energy, the experience. Like, if I find out that you're chasing that O, like, it's just going to run faster.
The transcendental experience, you know.
Yeah.
The trance of it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'm talking like an old man.
Honestly, good sex is medicine.
Oh,
I don't care what anybody says.
It is.
And but there's a plane of existence. It's like what is astral plane or astral, you know, what they say, astral
plane. Yeah.
Yeah, like
it's that face. You make that face. I've seen that face.
And it's super.
Don't get into this, Jesus.
Sweet mother of goddess.
people don't need to be invited into the bedroom, man.
I mean, yeah, probably so. I guess, yeah, I can't find those.
Lots of gods can be there, but not that one.
It's just that, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a cosmic hiccup or if it's a big bang. Love is still involved. This is a love stick, you know what I'm saying? If you use it and you insert it into the, you know, the portal of existence. Yes.
The promised land.
The sacred temple.
You're basically, you know, that's one of the highest practices of love.
Yeah.
But people have diminished it so much to just, you know,
call it a body count.
Friction and vibration.
Yep.
Look at people and I'm like, sex to me is not sacred between two people, but sex to me is still very freaking sacred.
Yes.
Like, honestly,
you mean two people exclusively?
Exclusively, whatever. It's an event.
It's an energy exchange, right?
So, like, I have definitely had those partners where it's like, we're not having the experience, we're having an experience.
Right.
And, like, I hate feeling like it's a grocery list. Like, check.
Yeah.
Got ticked down this week. That's a win.
Yeah, like, well, it honestly doesn't... You have to... It's like Marvin Gaye. You said sexual healing earlier.
Let's get it.
That motherfucker knows what the fuck he's talking about. Because he said sexual healing. He said, let's get it on. And then we're going to have sexual healing. And then he goes, I want you, but I want you to want me too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not that my want should outweigh your want. It's just that if you don't want it, then I can't possibly want it.
Oh, because his consent is key.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and if you give your consent, but it's half-assed and begrudgingly or... If it's something you're going to resent later, don't do it.
I'm just going to throw this out there. My ass is so fabulous that when you get half of it, it's still better than most of that other shit.
I love that. Globes.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, globes.
I had a lot of shit. I bombed in bed.
What's the line I said? I had a song called "Remember, Born Nazi by Nature." Thick with it, so quick with it. Don't question it. She is the queen of creation. She chose to bring forth nations and generations, solar systems and galaxies. Universally, she is my remedy, my antidote when I am ailing from fears of loss and fears of failing. Now.
I love it when partners drop bars about my badge.
it is the cosmic connection experience, you know.
It's sacred. It is a beautiful act between two people.
Yeah.
Or more.
And should be treated as such.
But the fact that it can happen with more than one person.
Exactly.
Is the part where if you link in and lock in, I won't say lock in because I don't really feel locked into some shit. But, well, let's say committed.
When you declare
and make a, you know, determination that you're going to participate and experience, you know, that's where it's at. You know what I'm saying? I think we still, the ones that seek to have, you know, sex all the time, are coming from a place of
curiosity.
That word come is so funny, man.
Oh, yeah.
C-O-M, come home.
Satisfaction brought him back.
Yeah. Oh, I did that. Yeah, that's a good one. Satisfaction brought him back.
That's the whole... Never mind.
Hey, hey, nine lives, Joe. Nine lives and counting is what I'm saying.
All right, Santa. Marvin Gaye is out.
All right, let's play. Let's play some sexual healing here.
Yeah.
And then we'll come back and we'll wrap this up. So here's a little sexual healing from Marvin Gaye.
At the same point in time, anytime anybody meets Arden's dad, I'm like, please don't judge me.
Synergy Information Radio. We are signing off. Thank you to my loves, Trice, and to Kristen Fury.
Thank you.
Being on here with you.
Thanks for having me, bro.
We'll be back on in 2 weeks. I don't know what's going to happen in 2 weeks. We'll figure that out. We're going to, like I said, I'm doing a show during the burn week. And Nana suggested that we, since I come on to the radio show with the same song every time, I should go out with the same song.
Stories of the Burn.
And I've decided that the song I'm going to go out to is Viva Las Vegas. Now, there are three versions of this song. There's the original Elvis Presley version. There is the Dead Kennedys version, which is a little punkier.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is this one, which is the ZZ Top version, which is my personal favorite.
Hate to blow your mind. There's way more than three versions.
Well, but there's lots of people that have covered it, but... I'm attracted. I like this version. And it's my radio.
Definitively.
It's my radio show. I can do what the fuck I want.
That's fair. I was wrong. My bad.
No good.
I'll shut up.
So here's a little view of Las Vegas from ZZ Top. See you guys in 2 weeks. Love you.